Ezekiel chapter 31, the fall of Assyria, a warning to Pharaoh. Ezekiel gave this fifth prophecy against Egypt in the third month of the 11th year of his captivity, which was just over a month before the end of the final siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. As previously mentioned, Pharaoh Hophra, or Apres, had sent an army in an endeavour to help King Zedekiah to break the siege. This interference by Pharaoh, and the trusting by Judah upon the Egyptian arm of flesh, provides one of the reasons for the attention given to Egypt by the prophet Ezekiel, as he is moved by the Spirit of God to speak of events which were soon to overtake that nation. And in this chapter, under the figure of the felling of a lofty cedar tree, the glory of the Assyrian monarchy and its fall is presented as typical of the impending fate of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Strangely, in the RSV, Assyria is not mentioned in verse 3. And this is the result of reading T. Asher, that is a pine tree, instead of Asher, which is Assyria, as in the received text. And there seems to be no justification for this emendation. And in that RSV version, the entire prophecy is held to be a picture of Egypt's glory and fall. Quite apart from the fact that there is no reason to doubt that the word Asser is correctly rendered Assyria, as in the Authorized Version, Revised Version, and NIV, the context demands that it be so rendered. The prophecy is speaking about the fall of a mighty nation in the past, see verse 12, which was to serve as a pattern of the future fall of Egypt, verse 18. The Assyrian monarchy is pictured as a lofty cedar in Lebanon. The figure is a familiar one. In chapter 17, Israel's royal house was similarly represented by a cedar. Whereas in Daniel 4, the Babylonian monarchy was pictured as a tree in the midst of the earth, and the figure is maintained in these verses, for the other nations of the Assyrian Empire are spoken of as the trees of the field. The little rivers that nourish these trees are said to derive from the great deep which surrounded the roots of the Assyrian cedar, denoting the dependence of the nations politically and economically on the power of Assyria, which in turn grew and flourished at their expense. And the figure in verse 6 is another familiar one. Here the birds and beasts, RSV, represent the nations in their attitude of receiving help from the Assyrian power. Literally, Assyria was situated on the Tigris, that is the Hiddekel of Genesis 2, one of the rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. There is thus in this prophecy a mixture of the literal and the figurative that would make the prophecy more relevant to the Egyptians, whose greatness was in large measure due to their association with the Nile. To emphasize the glory of the mighty Assyrian cedar, it is now described as being the envy of all the trees of Eden, none of whom could match the splendor of the Assyrian. The trees of Eden appear to represent the surrounding nations under Assyrian domination. The proverb, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall, finds its outworking in the experience of monarchies and governments, as well as in the lives of individuals, and the accounts of the downfall of the Prince of Tyre and of the Babylonian monarchy both illustrate the truth of the proverb. And so also does the experience of the Assyrian, whose pride is presented in verse 10, the sense being that the Assyrian cedar was lifted up because of his height. An example of the pride of the Assyrian is seen in his attitude towards Hezekiah and his God. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? He was indeed lifted up in height, and because of this pride was given by the one who rules in the kingdom of men into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. This mighty one of the heathen was the power of Babylon, which by a confederacy with the Medes caused the fall of Nineveh around 612 BC. Haran, the western stronghold of Assyria, fell some 2 or 3 years later, at about the time Nebuchadnezzar became co-regent with his father Nabopolassar, the king who had engineered the rise of Babylon. And it should be remembered that Egypt at this time was confederate with Assyria, and it was the Babylonian conquest of Assyria that brought Pharaoh Necho out of Egypt to Carchemish on the Euphrates, where he too was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar. Thus, after reigning supreme in Asia for almost half a millennium, the Assyrian cedar tree came crashing to the ground. The birds and beasts that had enjoyed the shelter of its government turned to prey upon its remains. And the fall of this mighty empire became an object lesson on a gigantic scale to all lesser powers, that is, the trees of the field, showing the fate of arrogant human rulership. The next verses graphically depict the effect of the fall of the Assyrian power upon the nations of the empire. The whole political system was thrown into confusion. The streams that had poured in their wealth and service to the waters of Assyria, thus contributing to the power and greatness of the Assyrian cedar, were interrupted, so that the waters, that is the deep, were covered, that is, caused to mourn. There was great consternation among the lesser powers, the trees of the field. And the crashing to the ground of the mighty cedar produced a political shaking that reverberated through the then known world. And this descent of the Assyrian into a political grave was shared by those lesser nations that comprised the arm of Assyria, that is, the subject nations which assisted him in his economic and military expansion. Verse 18 has the warning to Pharaoh. And here is the whole point of the prophecy, as the lesson of Assyria's history is brought to bear on Pharaoh's position at that time. Egypt had been one of the arms of Assyria when, as previously mentioned, Pharaoh Necho had formed an alliance with him against Babylon. Egypt should have learned her lesson, but failed to do so. Even as the prophecy was being delivered, Pharaoh Hophra, or Apres, was active in intrigue against Nebuchadnezzar, whose forces were besieging Jerusalem. Ophrah entered into an alliance with Zedekiah, king of Judah, in an attempt to break the siege of Jerusalem and assert his own supremacy, but his army was repulsed and the attempt unsuccessful. His attempts to encourage the king of Tyre to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar were more successful, but this was short-lived. Jerusalem fell in 586 BC, and although Tyre held out against Nebuchadnezzar for some 13 years, once Tyre had fallen, the day of reckoning with Egypt came. As soon as it was opportune to do so, Nebuchadnezzar set out to bring the power of Egypt crashing down, as the Assyrian had fallen earlier. There was, of course, this difference between the fall of Assyria and that of Egypt that is not mentioned in this chapter. The fall of Assyria was complete, and its empire swallowed up by Babylon. Egypt was to continue after her fall as a base kingdom, and never to return to her former greatness.